It's great to have everyone here this morning. As Paul said, I'm Don. I'm one of the deacons here at Submerged Church. I'm thankful to be here before you this morning. Last week, Paul shared a message on Decision 2020 and about making a righteous decision and comparing the two views of the two candidates that are up for this election. And I couldn't help but think when Paul was sharing that message, I'd heard, oh my goodness, probably a month ago, there was a short little news clip, and Paul did a wonderful job about talking about making a righteous decision. And this news clip, there was a CEO of a Fortune 500 company being interviewed about his thoughts of the election, and he was more of a worldly perspective, and the reporter was asking him what his thoughts were, and he said, hey, you know what, I'm not going to tell you who I'm voting for, I'm not going to tell you who I'm endorsing, but I just see this race as like two horses, two candidates, two horses. One horse is kind of ornery, kind of will buck you off once in a while. I don't like this horse's Twitter account, but he said, this horse has done some good things for our country. I feel like our nation is moving in the right place. My employees got 401ks, and he went, oh, no, they're better, and all the stuff. And he said, the other horse is in a race, and that horse has a history, and that horse has shared the vision for our country, and I think that horse will just run us off a cliff. And the reporter said, I'm going to break for a commercial. So I'm not going to tell you who I am voting for, just like Paul. I was just telling you a story. That's all I was doing. But that was a worldly perspective. I mean, a worldly perspective about fame and treasures and all those things. But that's going to all evaporate someday. The big idea is, as Paul has shared with you already, is to be an evangelist. In Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, that's a big undertaking. It's like, wow, I'm thankful that God's blessed me with the business, and what am I supposed to not go to work and just go into all the whole world and just, travel about? And that's not the entire vision of just being an evangelist. You can be an evangelist right with your coworker, right with a family member, right next door to your neighbor. You can be an evangelist. So as I share this message this morning, I would like you to kind of think, it's like, wow, it's the gospel. I've heard parts of the gospel so many times, and I've heard all this before. I just kind of know it and kind of know what's happening. And so I don't know what kind of a message this will be. Is it something I've already heard? So yes, I would assume that I always like to think that everyone is a believer that you're standing in front of it when you're coming to share the message. But I would hope that you would just maybe resonate to think, you know what? I have heard this many, many, many times before, but you know what? That's a little phrase, or that's a little story, or that's a little thought that I could share. I could actually share. I could see myself sharing that with a friend or a neighbor or my daughter or my son or my granddaughter. That's what I would like to encourage you to do, is just think of it in that manner. The next slide, please, Charlton. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, it's like that worldly view from that CEO. It's God's word tells us not to lay up for yourselves treasures upon this earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus told the rich young ruler who asked, hey, how can I go and be with you in heaven? And Jesus told him to go and sell everything. And the man couldn't do it. The rich young ruler walked away sad and wept. See, greed. I don't know this, only Jesus would know, but I think if that young ruler had said, I'm selling it all, Jesus, I'm going to follow you right now. Maybe Jesus would say, keep your money, I just want your heart. I'm just looking for your heart. That's what Jesus wants for all of us, is our heart. And Paul has talked about it a bit. We're not going to have a presidential debate or anything this morning, but don't put your hope. I would encourage you not to put your hope in any president. There is no perfect president. I wouldn't put your hope in world peace. There will never be world peace. There's sin. It's not going to happen. I wouldn't put your hope in this perfect, trustworthy government. We're going to always have crooks in different parts of government. Don't put your hope in that. The only hope is in Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. That's hope we can count on. It's real. Jesus is real. Let's pray one more time. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, I just pray that I feel like we could take the next 20 minutes and not even have a message, God, and just bow our heads in prayer before you. We don't have an economy problem, a race problem, an immigration problem. Oh, God, we got sin. We've got a sin problem. We've got a heart problem, God. Oh, that we would turn back to you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for our freedom. God, we're still a nation that can come before you free and worship you. And Paul shared about the persecuted church. And oh, God, thank you for our freedom in this nation. God, even though we've turned our back on you, God, you've told us if we would confess and repent and come back to you, Lord, you would heal our land. Oh, God, that's my prayer this morning. Oh, to be an evangelist and just share the wonderful news of Jesus to the world that so desperately needs you. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Multiple choice. You see it in the bulletin. You know, you look at that and probably looked at it a little bit in the bulletin. And are you a pastor? B, are you an evangelist? C, are you both? Or D, are you none of the above? So as I prepared this message, I just thought about this. I'm not a pastor. I'm blessed to be able to share a message as one of the deacons here. But a pastor, I am not. Because Webster's Dictionary describes a pastor as a minister in charge of a Christian church or congregation. And that is not me. That's Pastor Paul, Pastor Bob, Pastor Don Dunham in Grand Forks, Pastor Dave Mata. They are pastors. So then I thought, well, an evangelist. Kind of think of an evangelist. I'm not someone that does a lot of public speaking, and I'm not like Billy Graham that was went around and traveled and did these evangelistic crusades. And so I'm not an evangelist that way. So I'm not both. So I'm not none of the above. But I thought, you know what? I think all of us, if we just look at that, I believe I am humbly B, I'm an evangelist, but I'm a very weak. I'm a very weak evangelist. I just am. I have the opportunity, and I try to not be so selfish and look for more opportunities to share God's word and to share the gospel with people and talk with folks about God and the Bible and Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I'm weak. I want to be a better evangelist. So that's the goal this morning is just impressed upon me when I prepared this message that God laid on my heart to just go for it, Don. Go for it for me. Be better. I want to be better because I will claim to be an evangelist, but a very weak one. So if that makes any sense. So the song that's going to be played at the end of this message is Just As I Am. And the music worship team was practicing it when I came in. And years ago, I went as a young man, a young kid. I was in eighth grade when the very first Billy Graham crusade I went to in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And then when I got married, my wife and I had no kids at the time, went to the Billy Graham crusade in Fargo. And I've been a Billy Graham fan my whole adult life, or just ever since eighth grade. I love the messages from Billy Graham. So I will listen to those messages, be in the garage and painting and doing whatever, exercising a little bit. And now my wife knows the deal, because just think about this at the end. I'm going fast forwarding, but Just As I Am, we played and we'll sing it at the end of this message. And there's many, many times I'll be out there and I just weep because that's the invitation. That's when Billy Graham gives the invitation at every one of his gospel crusades to accept Jesus as their Savior. That's the call. So I'll hear that. So now she knows, but first she goes, are you okay? Are you okay? Now she'll come out and I'll just, wow. And she'll go, oh, okay, Billy Graham. So now she kind of knows the deal, but just it's such a beautiful song. It's just such a beautiful and powerful song. So the lifestyle of the believer, if you think of, our lifestyle, and as a believer to be an evangelist, I was thinking of it like the frustration sometimes as you're sharing maybe some of God's truth with someone and they kind of have a glazed look and just like, you know, just not, you know, just we're not matching up. And I started thinking, you know, it's like if I got dropped off in somewhere where I didn't speak the language, like Tokyo, Japan is the capital of Japan. If I was dropped in Tokyo in the middle of downtown and they said, hey, I'm taking your wallet, your keys, and all your money, and just you got to get 48 hours to get back to the United States. I just think of the frustration and the struggle that I would have. I would probably run into some really wonderful people, well-meaning people that want it probably in their heart, they want to help me, but we're not matched up, and they just can't track with what I'm trying to say, and I can't track with what the advice they're giving me. I would be so, so incredibly frustrated. I'd be like a baby, just lost, and just, oh, I'd be so frustrated. So I think God's impressed upon me sometimes that just to slow down, you know, just slow down when you're visiting with someone, because I have nothing like Pastor Bob Bartlett. The verses that he has claimed to memory are just unbelievable. I just I would love to know all those verses that Bob has locked in his head, like the computer chip, and just lock it into mine. But so I've claimed verses to memory, but I'll rattle off some of those verses, and it's just kind of like a little pinball game. There's like, I can just tell that I'm losing. We're not matching up. So if you think of that, once there's confusion, I've found when I give a presentation in my business, anytime there's confusion, there's stoppage. And there's just, nothing else really happens after that. It's just, there's confusion. We're not matching up. So I've kind of, hopefully by the grace of God, figured out maybe you don't have this problem, which is awesome. I can learn from you. But I found that's my disconnect. Sometimes I'm bowling at China shop, just rolling and rolling. I'm so excited, but it's just going over their heads. And there's some very smart people. There's some very intelligent people that I've talked to, been able to share the gospel with, but they're lost. They're a reason they're called lost, because they just don't know the foundation and have the foundation that we have as far as the gospel and being a believer. We had an employee years ago his name was Paul, and he'd been with us for 3 years, not this Paul. He'd been with us for like 3 years at the time, and we'd hired another new employee at that time and agreed upon a wage. That person started. Shortly after that new person started, Paul looked in our system and saw that person who just got hired, and he was 3 years ago hired, made the exact same wage. And he was madder than a wet hen. He was irritated. So he, you know, called, buzzed me and said, I need to talk to you about this wage thing with this new person that came on board. And I said, yeah, sure, Paul, I'd be happy to. So I had him come into our office, and my business partner, Taylor, and I were talking about his wage. And as we sat down there, I said, I'd be happy to discuss with you your wage, Paul. But do you mind first if I share a story with you? I want to share a parable from the Bible. I just want to share with you a little bit about wages. Is that okay? And he goes, yeah, you bet. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I want to hear this parable. And then he goes, what's a parable? He was already not tracking with the word parable. So I said, Paul, it's a story, okay? And I'm going to tell you a biblical story, Paul, about getting rewards in the kingdom of heaven, but I'm going to keep it in perspective to your wage concern. So I said, here's the story in the Bible, Paul, about the parable, about a landowner with his vineyard. So I said, this farmer, this landowner, he wanted some work done. Went out to the marketplace, 7 o'clock in the morning, he found some people that could be available to work, so he said, hey, you want to come work in my vineyard for the day? And they said, okay, what are you paying? And he said, I'll pay you a denarius. I just said, Paul, for today's world, let's call it a $100 bill. I'm going to give you a $100 bill for the day to come work in my vineyard. And then they did. And then about noon, he still needed some more work done. So he went out and found some more people in the marketplace. Said, hey, I'll give you a $100 bill to work in my vineyard today. And they said, sure, okay, I'll do that. 5 o'clock at night, he still had a little more work to do, so he found some more people doing nothing in the marketplace. Said, hey, would you come and work for me? I'll pay you $100 for the remainder of the day. And they said, okay. They finished work for the day. Evening sets in. And the vineyard owner says to his foreman, said, hey, go pay everybody. But I want you to pay the people that started last. I want you to pay them first. And the foreman says, okay, whatever. So he gathers everybody up, people that he hired at 5 o'clock, paid them all $100 bill. And they all said, oh, thank you, thank you. And then he gathered up people that were started at noon, paid them all $100 bill for their effort for the day. And then he gathered the people at 7 that were hired first, and they were licking their chops. They're thinking, it's payday for us. We've been out there all day in the hot sun. This is going to be awesome. And then he gathered those folks up and gave them a $100 bill, a denarius. And they were mad. So they were mad, Paul. They were pretty upset. So if you think about this, I just shared with him, just like the landowner's story, what the landowner said to them when they were hired and they were grumbling and they were mad, he said, those who were hired last worked only 1 hour. I realize that. And yes, they got paid equal to you that worked all day in the hot sun. So the landowner said, have I not been fair to you? I said, well, yeah. Have I not honored our agreement? I honored our agreement. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius or $100 bill? Yeah, we did. He goes, the landlord said, don't I have a right to give to the one who was hired last the same as I gave to you? I guess so. So was I fair to you and have I honored our agreement, Paul? Yeah, I guess so. So he is rewarding everyone the same pay wrong. He said, no, I guess not. Okay, thanks. And then he got it. So after sharing that story, my business partner, Taylor, said, oh, man, that's an awesome story. That's a great story. That's unbelievable. I can't believe it. I can't believe how great that story is. And I said, "It is a wonderful parable." I said, but it's not me, Taylor. It's not me. This is God's word. There's so much power and truth in God's word that when we... So I just explained to him what the parable meant, that because he goes, what's the Bible thing? You don't see the point is you don't have to really preach to people. Just if you tell a story and understand the parable, he said, what does that, what does it like mean in the Bible world, in the heaven world? I don't get what you're saying there. So what it really simply means is, Taylor, the people that have accepted Jesus first, there are equal rewards in heaven to the people that accept Jesus later in life. Nor should the people that accepted Jesus early in life be jealous of those that were converted later in life. See, it's equal reward in heaven. And he goes, oh, yeah, I got the money part better, but I understand what you're saying, he said. So we must repent of our sins. We must, repent means to turn around. Turn around. Make a choice. Some say, you know, I'll repent later, and I got lots going on right now, and I can kind of figure out this, you know, the Jesus thing later, and I'll figure that out later. And the Bible says, no, now. Now is the accepted time. And people are, when you share the gospel with people, and when Billy Graham preaches his message, I'd probably say, I don't know, because they're locked in my head now, just like from listening to all his messages. Probably 10, 15% of his message is just Billy Graham in my head. It just comes out. But that's incredibly powerful, the word of God. So people are not coming to you today if you're sharing the scripture or sharing the gospel with them. I'm just a man. I'm just a guy. They're coming to Christ. That's who they're coming to. I've got no supernatural power. I'm just a sinful guy. But people will choose. They'll pick that path either to heaven or they'll pick that path to hell. It's a choice. It is really that simple. The next slide, I'll show you a slide of a Pastor Tom Dunham in Grand Forks, he years ago, he would show like a picture, a slide of his kids or something, and he'd be up there sharing the message, and he said, yeah, that's the advantage of being a pastor. You can, you know, you can put up pictures of your kids, and I was sitting out there thinking, this is years ago, I was thinking, I want to preach someday. I mean this would be so fun to put your, so today's the day, I guess. But this was, this is my daughter Savannah's, It's my youngest grandbaby. I got five of them, two sweet ones here that I'm going to talk about in a minute. But one sweet person that saw this on all this Facebook or, what is it, Instagrams or what? No, when it comes real quick. What's that called?
Instagram.
But no, Snapchat. Because then it goes away, right? Yeah, okay. Anyway, so one sweet lady that saw this said, oh, that was so sweet of Micah's. Trick or treats, smell my legs. No, it's smell my feet. Next slide, please, Charlton. So this is, I guess Bo's cut off there a little bit, but that's the three grandbabies up in Grand Forks, my daughter Savannah's grandbabies. Next slide. Oh, go back one slide. Can you go back, Charlton? This is so sweet. If you look up there, Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So it's just, I saw that in the picture, and it just, go to the next slide, please, Charlton. In our home, we just have it not as a look at us. We just want to make the proclamation that Joshua 24:15, and this is in our home when you come up the stairs, that first thing you see is, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So it's just so precious what God has given us and how we can be an evangelist, even from a verse on your wall. Next slide, please. This is some more grandbabies, the last of five. Who's this guy? Jaxie? Who is this? That's Vea, yes. Sometimes Vea doesn't like me. Today she likes me. I got your picture up there, honey. So these are two sweet grandbabies in attendance today. So I'm so grateful that God has allowed me to grow up in a Christian home. Next slide, please, Charlton. And you maybe had the opportunity to learn some verses as a young child and grow up in a home where your parents maybe had devotions with you and prayed before each meal. I was so fortunate to have all of that. Wednesday night, Boys Brigade and Awana program as a youth, and I was just so blessed to have my mom and dad that would teach us parables and stories and verses and the meaning of them from Scripture. Be an evangelist. Memorize Scripture. I talked about it earlier with Pastor Bob. He talked about it a lot in his message called The Season of Harmony. That was, I wrote it down, it was September 20th. It's already been about a month ago. Pastor Bob talked that morning about being ready, be equipped. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. If you want to write that in your notes, I don't think it's in the, didn't put it in the bulletin, but Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Being equipped, putting on the armor of Almighty God. Be equipped and be ready at all times. My granddaughter, Hadley Mae, she's seven, and she accepted Jesus as her Savior a few weeks ago. This little seven-year-old sweetheart, October the 2nd, and she had lots of questions that day. The Holy Spirit was talking to her, and she was so confused. She didn't know what was going on. She was like, I think I'm good enough, but I love God, I love Jesus, but I don't know if I'm good enough. And this sweet, tender little heart just had so many questions. And we just talked and just gently shared just what the Scripture means and what sin and what it's all about. And that sweet little girl, she just, God allowed me to gently just lead her to the Lord. And she just, I just never forget it. So praise God for those opportunities that we have. In a past sermon, I had talked, several months ago, and the title was called, As a Person Thinketh, So Is He or She, kind of talking about putting, if you put garbage in your mind, you get garbage out, and if you put a goodness in your heart, you get goodness out. That was kind of the theme. And I used to listen to watch, I mentioned then, the news, kind of a news junkie. I was, Fox News, I gotta say it's Fox News. So an hour in the morning, hour at night, you know, pretty soon I got wrapped up 2 hours a day in the news world. And I quickly realized that, you know what? A lot of that is still, I'm getting garbage in my head. I can get caught up in the day's events 15 minutes in the morning and 50 minutes at night. So there, I can free up an hour and a half for, you know, goodness, you know, versus the 2 hours that I was spending. So I don't know or come to even judge or guess. I don't know what your lifestyle is like. I don't know where you hang out. I don't know who you hang out with. I don't know any of these things. Do you pray before every meal? I don't know if you do or don't. If you have kids and you're not doing this, oh, you need to. You need to be that example. Are you a godly example to your kids and friends and grandbabies and coworkers? Do you swear? Do you help people in need? Do we act like a Christian, talk like a Christian? Do we treat others like a Christian? Being an evangelist starts with reading your Bible. I'm not a big reader. I don't think I've read a book cover to cover since high school. I really don't. And that's been 7 years ago. So not quite. I'm 40, I'd be actually 40 years ago. Been 40 years, I bet, since I've read a book from cover to cover. My wife says I have ADHD. I'm just kind of wound up. I'm not medicated, and I don't want to be. But I don't know. I'm just kind of wired that way. I love to listen, though, and I love to watch. And that's where I just love to have these sermons playing in the background on a headset. That works for me. And if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, then read. If you digest more and get more out of reading, that's fantastic. But I've listened to so many online sermons from, we'll be in the hot tub, my wife and I in Arizona, and listen to one of Paul's pre-recorded messages, or Pastor Bob's, or Pastor Tom Dunham, or Pastor Harold Salem from the Christian Worship Hour, 98-year-old preacher, still preaching. I love to, Pastor Dave Mott, Pastor Tony Skeving, whenever I can get my ears on it, I have an 88 traveling down the road, I can just I'm tuning into Pastor Skeving. I love to listen online. And it's amazing. The point is, it's subliminal sometimes. It's just in the backdrop. I'll be painting, I'll be doing whatever. But it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing what comes out of my mouth sometimes later that I'm going, wow, where did that come from? But it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. The Holy Spirit is my mentor. Once we are saved and accept Jesus, at that moment, the Holy Spirit enters and lives with us. And that's where that comes from, just by having the Holy Spirit in our life. I don't know if you ever thought of this, but your heart is transformed the day that you're born again, the day you accept Jesus. And the Holy Spirit enters you that very second, okay? I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but eternal life, a lot of people think, oh, eternal life starts the day, it actually starts the day that you accept Jesus, not the day you die. It's the day that you accept Jesus in your heart. That's when eternal life starts. It's not when you perish from this earth. It's not when you die. And praise God for that covenant. Pastor Bob, we were talking one day here at one of our morning coffee meetings with the pastors, and he just said it's a covenant. Covenant. It's an agreement. It can never be taken from anyone. Once that agreement is with Almighty God, it's there forever. You're saved forever. You can't lose your salvation. It's an agreement. It's a contract with Almighty God. How powerful is that? These parables, I'm not going to go through them because time doesn't allow, but there's so much to, you could do a message. I was sharing with Paul. You could do a message on each parable. Learn the parable of the lost sheep, and it's just so incredible. It's about a man that had 100 sheep, lost one of them, left the 99 to go track down the 100 because he was so concerned about that one life, that one sheep. Just like the same way our Father in heaven is so concerned about the one lost soul, just that one lost soul that the Father in heaven doesn't want anybody to perish. Nobody deserves heaven. Not a one of us deserves heaven. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin, you can't change it. I have done some things in my life. I'm just appalled by some of the things that I've done over my lifetime, and I can't change that. That's over and done. But Jesus can change that. Jesus died for my sins, for all those weaknesses, all my past transgressions. He's died for yours. Those in Christ can have every sin committed they've ever committed, all forgiven. Just think of that. The Bible calls it justification. Justification. Do you know what justification means? Anybody. What does justification mean? Okay, I'll help you. You probably know, you may be a little shy. Justification means by the shed blood of Christ, God forgets our sin like we never committed that sin. We're justified. Justification in Christ. It's absolutely incredible. So I don't know if you ever really think about that deeply. When I was putting together this message, I thought, man, I forgave a guy 7 years back about a man that, terrible deed to me. He ripped me off for thousands and thousands of dollars in business. Terrible sin against me, but I forgave him, and I've moved on. But the difference is, see, I'm human. I haven't forgotten it. It's like if it drums up again, I'm like, oh, I remember that, but I've moved on. I've forgiven this man. But the difference is with Jesus forgets. You ask God to forgive you of that sin, and it's gone. It is lights out, never to be thought of again. Almighty God forgets that sin. We're forgiven of that sin. That's absolutely so powerful. People will say, you know, when is Jesus coming back? You'll be talking to people, and, oh, you got so many of these little stories here, Don. Well, so when's Jesus coming back? I heard this on the news. Some person thinks it's coming back. There's an asteroid going to hit here. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know the time of Jesus' return. No one does. No one knows when Jesus will return. But I said it's like the train conductor. There was a train, and I think I told this story maybe at a past sermon, but there's a train in a small Midwest town, and that train was notorious for being late. Year after year after year, the train was supposed to arrive in the afternoon, and it was late. For years, this train was late. One day, they see the train coming, and it's coming in about 10 minutes before the arrival time. It's actually early. And they're going, this is unbelievable. They were so excited. The townspeople ran in the store, and they bought a box of cigars. They brought it out. The train screeches to a halt, and the conductor comes out, and he said, congratulations. We're going to give you this box of cigars as a gift of our appreciation. The train is on time. And the conductor said, I can't accept those cigars. I'm sorry. And they said, why not? And he said, this is yesterday's train. See, the train actually wasn't on time. So we don't know when God's coming back. We need to be ready. Learn the parable of the faithful versus the wicked servant. It's about a man who went away and left his house to his servants, and they didn't know when he was coming back. So we don't have time for the parable to share it all, but don't be a believer. Is the message, don't be a believer caught sleeping. Don't be a believer caught sleeping and not doing God's work when Jesus returns. Or don't be an unbeliever that doesn't know Jesus when Jesus returns, worse yet. So that making a choice, some people say, in other words, if you don't make a choice, when someone hears the gospel, if they don't make a choice at that moment, if they don't choose Jesus and they reject Jesus, they've actually made the choice. The choice has been made. They just chose to reject Jesus instead of accept him. It'd be like, if I was going to get on an airplane tonight, I got a ticket at 7 o'clock to fly out of Hector Airport. Plane leaves at 7. I get there at 5:30, and I'm all sitting in the little chairs like a lemming, just waiting like everybody else to get on the plane. And then, like sometimes, whatever. So, there you sit. So you got to be there so early to sit. So anyway, you sit there, and then I just don't know if I want to fly there. I got so many things to do next week. I don't even know if I should take the flight. And then leaving at 7, then 5:30 comes around. It's like, I don't know. 6 comes around. Man, I just cannot decide. 6:30 runs around. I still can't decide. 7 o'clock, the plane leaves, and I'm still sitting there. Okay, if I'm still sitting there, I have made my decision. Even though I couldn't decide, I have actually made a decision. Talk to people about the parable of the lost coin. Wonderful parable about the woman who lost a coin, and she was so excited when she found her coin again. So that the parable, in the same way, the rejoicing in heaven when one soul, when one person comes to Christ. Jesus taught us the story of the prodigal son. That's two messages in that parable. It's a fantastic parable from the Bible, a teaching. And that father in that parable, you'll read it if you've never heard it, but the father doesn't chase down his son. Doesn't go chasing after the son that left. The son had to figure out on his own that he was lost, that he was sinful. He sinned against his father. And then the son was remorseful and came back. And the father welcomed that son with open arms, just as Jesus welcomes us to heaven when we come to him. The parable of the net talks about the end of the age when the angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. There's so many incredible parables. I think we're on the last slide. In closing here, Charlton, the big idea. Again, be an evangelist. Mark 16 through 15, Paul read it. We talked about it earlier, but if you just go, I think there is the next slide we've got on there, please. There we go. Yeah, be a person who seeks to convert others to the Christian faith. And that should be, hopefully, Lord willing, our goal. And not, we don't have to travel to the whole ends of the earth. We got neighbors, we got friends, we got coworkers that need to hear about Jesus. I just think, oh man, so often people that reject God will never have that true peace. They'll have those troubled waters. It just amazes me. Sometimes I just such a burden. It's like I'll talk to someone about heaven and hell and just what things mean, and they're so cavalier about it. So like, oh, it's just like no big deal. It's like, I mean, it's tragic. It's like the waitress coming up. Hey, Bryce, can I pour you a cup of heaven? And Bryce says, nah, no, thanks. I'm just going to stick with hell. Thank you. It's like, and I apologize. I don't even mean that to be funny. It's just like, oh my, that's how just complacent people, they don't care. It's like, just, we're talking eternity here. We're not talking, you know, a couple years of anguish and gnashing of teeth. We're talking eternity. It's just absolutely amazing. But praise God, the cross covers all sin, covers all the sin from Adolf Hitler to Jeffrey Dahmer, everybody. The cross covers all sins. You look over at that cross and you think of the agony on the cross, the barbed wire, the crown of thorns. You know, you think about that. That cross, I actually pounded those nails into Jesus' hands. I pounded the nails into his feet. You pounded the nails into Jesus' hand. You pounded the nails into his feet because of sin. Just think of that. Jesus took that sin for us. Oh, how humbling that is to think about that. Worship team, if you want to come forward here, I would challenge you to study the parables. Please just try to be more equipped and just be ready to share some of those simple stories with your neighbors and friends, and just to be an evangelist. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, I come before you this morning. I pray for our nation, Lord. Oh, God, our nation. We're hurting, Lord. We are hurting, like Paul said. Please, Lord, bring us back to the cross. We're a nation right now that's just divided by the enemy. Oh, God. I pray that you'd give us victory over sin and over the enemy November 3rd, God, and your will would be done. There's no one like you, Lord God. You're a good God. You're a great God. Pray for the church. Be a voice. Oh, God, that we'd be a voice for you. Oh, Lord God. And then we'd share the gospel and be an evangelist. God, I thank you and praise you. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.